It's always a great joy to be giving the message, and as I've said many times, I hope you learn as much as I learned this week preparing the message. So I'm just going to open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I would pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to descend upon this congregation, that you would be stirring our hearts, that you would be inciting us to missional living and what that means in everyday life. Through your Son Jesus, we pray, amen. It's amazing that if you count the days and you have the good fortune of being on this earth for a certain, relative 70 years, you potentially will work 10,000 days. Ooh. And so, 10,000 days is a long time. In that same period of time, you're only going to go to church for 2,600 days if you make every Sunday. All right? So 10,000 days is a lot of days. So some of you have probably had some jobs. Some of you probably are in some jobs. And some of you probably will get some jobs. And I started out, my very first job was as a ranch hand. I was 11 years old and fairly useless. And I was promoted to gardener after having failed at ranch hand. So all of us have had our trials and our tribulations. Now, I had a very fabulous relationship with my parents, and so really, in many regards, I had some of the best colleagues I've ever had in my, I've sort of been in the workforce now for 40 years, and so they were some of my best co-workers. Now, of course, at that time, I had a pretty small sample to compare against, and I didn't know that, and I probably took that for granted. But, we've all had a lot of work colleagues. Even if it was that volunteer job you've had or that job you've had for 25 years, we've had a lot of colleagues. And so today, I want to look at missional living in the workplace. And that workplace is a big umbrella concept. It can be, when you get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, you have to be at work at 8, it can be those people. But it might also be the people that are part of your volunteer organization. It might be those people who are, and I know this is a bit of a stretch, but those other people who are on the hockey team or the moms and dads for your hockey team or a soccer team. The workplace is a really, really big concept. It's something usually bigger than the family, and whether that's your blood family or your church family. And so we're going to take a look at that. But for me, one of the things in my preparation this week, which absolutely just flabbergasted me, floored me, flattened me, was this line that I found. Mission is not a task. It's a way of life. And so I got to thinking about, what does that mean? What does that mean when something's a way of life? And usually what it means is that there's some kind of anchor. There's some kind of fountain from which that comes. And so I'm going to take us a little bit back before I look at some very practical things that we might think about being missional in the workplace, to the concept of identity. Because I think in many ways, identity and our workplace, and some people identify with their workplace. They are a carpenter, or they are an executive, or they are a pastor. And that is their identity. And I'm going to challenge you that that's not the identity that will give you missional living. And so, if we can just do a little bit of a head flip on that, I think we're going to find some interesting things. But there's no free lunch, okay? No free lunch. You're going to have to work for this. And what I require is everyone to take a little piece of paper and just hang on to it. And everybody needs to take a pen or a pencil, or if you're really creative, a pencil crayon. You have all those choices this morning. So many choices. So it was interesting when I come to give a message. I'm kind of one of these guys that wants to know where we've been and where we're going. So I went back and I listened to all the sermons, and I found quite happily that there's a theme. And the theme is missional living. And there's a certain kind of concept that it's somehow key to our living as a Christian, be living missionally. So I went back and I looked at the sessions, and Zander started this 7-part series, and don't write this down on your paper, because your paper's for something else, okay? So just keep this fresh in your mind. He said, you know, it has something to do about Christ giving us a mission and a vision and promising us community. And then Les came along and said, well, you know, there's a purpose and there's a direction and a planning for missions. You don't just get to Las Vegas by getting in your car because you're probably going to end up in Newfoundland. So you have to have a plan. And then we had Wes with his chocolate milk, and he said that we should use God's power to move us to act, in particular the Holy Spirit. And then we had Paul, who gave us a really moving message about God's strength in our weakness, being removed of all his sort of faculties so that he had to start again and really depend on God for his strength. And then Ben, last week, reconciliation is part of the missional lifestyle. And then today, I'm going to talk about identity, missions in the workplace. And then, next week, no spoiler, the missional living grand finale. Building it up. Xander, you're on. Next week, you got to pull us all together. I'm very moved by Christian music. I can't play any instruments. All I can play is Spotify and the radio. But I do listen to a lot of Christian music. And this particular song, I've been listening to for about a month now, and I think Janet is a little bit tired of hearing it, because I play it every morning, every night, and then I thought, you know what, I'm going to use this in my message. I'm going to inflict this torture and suffering on the entire congregation. But it is quite an amazing song, because it talks about some of the basic truths about being in Christ. So I want you to listen to it, and then we're going to do our little exercise. Whoops, sorry. Let's go. We're good.
Inside me, and you call me out to pull me in. You tell me I can start again, and I don't need to keep on hiding. I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go, no matter what I do. And it's not one or the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you. It's so like you to keep pursuing. It's so like me to go astray. But you guard my heart with your truth, the kind of love that's bulletproof, and I surrender to your kindness. Oh, I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go, no matter what I do. And it's not one or the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you. How real, how wide, how rich, how high is your heart? I cannot find the reasons why you'd give me so much. ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you.
Right. So the whole idea of becoming a Christian is that we become fully known by an all-loving God, a creator of the universe. And this, I think, is the linchpin to understand how we will act as a Christian. Not how we should act, not how we're told to act, but how we become a new creation, and we do act in this way. It becomes our identity. Our identity is not our work. Our identity is in Christ, someone who fully knows us, who fully loves us. And in fact, this is on pretty good authority, because I think Paul, when he was writing, exactly got this idea that identity is the key to missional living. Here's what he explains. Paul says in Ephesians 3. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all of these people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Now that's a mouthful. But, you know, Paul was always writing in these very, very long, convoluted sentences. I want to unpack this just for a minute by asking you to enter into an exercise with me. For whenever we see the word underlined, okay, I want you to insert your own name. All right? So let's read it again. I, Don, okay, you guys have to say your name. You don't have to read the whole thing. You just have to say your name, okay? I, Don, became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to Lynn, Don, through the power of working of his power. Although I, Don, am less than all of these of God's people, this grace was given to me, Don, to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was now that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we, Pine Grove, may approach God with freedom of confidence. Now, this is what we take into our workplace. This is what we take into our homes. This is what we take into our church family. And so it's our identity which drives our activities, not our activities which drive our identity. So, what's your identity? And let's just be a little honest here, because I gave you a sheet of paper. I did this exercise 10 years ago, and I have my little card still. I use it as my bookmark in any book that I'm currently reading, because it reminds me who I am, because I forget a lot. So, let me just encourage you to say that your identity, let's write down three things at the top of the page. I am. Just put I am, and then the next line. The next line is going to be, I am these three things. And it has to do with the Trinity. I am a child of God. I am a brother or sister of Christ. And I am a host of the Holy Spirit. I like to think of an Airbnb host, you know, where I'd like to try to clean everything up for the Holy Spirit to indwell in me, but sometimes I don't have it all cleaned up. So that's just kind of the way it is. And this is really, really, really basic. This is where you start your identity. If you're here today, I would encourage you to think about this is your core identity. And this is the cornerstone of missional living. Now, I want you to add six more, or seven, of who I am. So I have, I'm a doer. I'm a chef. I'm a walker. I'm a skater. I'm a worker. I'm a lover of plants. I'm a person who likes good food. Fill them out. You got about 3 minutes. And just put down whatever comes to your head. This is who you are. I'm a dad.